So God, we just ask, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. God, that you will help us, God, to live well. God, to not live by our opinions or what we think should happen, Lord, but God, rather that we would see through your lens, Lord God, and what that looks like. And God, we just want to honor you. God, I just want to honor you. I want to live more and more like Christ. God, as I age, God, I want it to be said of me, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so God, my heart and my prayer is that we will do that together as a body of Christ. God, that you will come in this place and you will move on our hearts, Lord God, and you will speak to us through the word of God. God, for those that are fearful and full of anxiety, God, we pray that they will cast their cares upon you. God, for those that are concerned about things within their family, their relationship, or their job, Lord God, we pray that you will move in them, Lord God, and help them and see them through. And God, I pray as a body of believers that we will be united. God, my prayer, and I know that Jesus' prayer for us is that we would stand united and we would gather around the things that are important to your heart, which is salvation and seeing people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. God, let that be our number one goal here within our local church, but in the church throughout the globe. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen and amen. When I was growing up, is there an echo on me? Yeah, no? Is there an echo? There's no echo? Okay, I don't know. It just might be me. I'm not used to people in the building. And so when I was growing up, I had a family. I grew up in a culture of my mom and dad gave their lives to the Lord whenever I was young. I was 8 years old. We were Catholic. We attended church. And so when my mom and dad gave their life to the Lord, it was serious. It was like they were doing one thing, they turned around and did another thing. And I remember thinking in my head that many of everybody that I knew grew up just like me. So for me, I grew up in a Christian household with a mom and a dad. I grew up with a brother and a sister. And all those things became the lens through which I viewed life. So whenever I was in high school and people were acting out or people were doing different things, I didn't quite understand, because I grew up in a household that had very strict rules and strict limits. And for me, that was the lens that I saw all of life through. It was the lens that everything that I see. And so your formative years, now Jeremy always talks about this when he preaches, our formative years are whenever we are about 3 to 9 years old. Everything that you know and see and believe happened a lot because of the way that we were treated or what we grew up in from 3 to 9, maybe 11 or 12. And you might see that, right? How many people act like your mom or you act like your father in some situations in your life, and you're like, where did I get that from? And it's just the way that we live life, and the way it's called our lens. And even though you're like, I'm never going to grow up to be like my mom and dad, what do? You grow up and you're like your mom and your dad. You saw the commercial, right? Like, whose commercial is that? And eventually they all become like their mom and dad. It's super funny. And so no matter how much you try, it seems like that lens is the lens that you see through. That there is nothing wrong with seeing through a particular set of lenses. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, if I would look at this chair right here, for me, this would be a stool. But for some of you, it might be a what? Somebody say something in the building. It's a chair. What else do you notice about it? It's black. It has four stools. Okay, it has four legs. And so each one of us come with a different perspective of what this chair is, what this chair can do. But we would all at the end of the day say what? This is completely a chair. We would say it's a stool. And we would be absolutely correct, though some of us might use it for different purposes. For me, I use this as a piano stool so that I don't have to stand up for the next 5 hours. And so I use it to sit down and to rest so that I can play piano. And for each one of us, we have a different perspective, or if you would, it's like seeing through a different set of lens, though we're all seeing the same thing. So this happens a lot in the Bible as well. Now the problem is that we think that everybody has the same set of lens that we have. And for years, I thought everybody had my same set of lens, that we should all see the world the same way. Now wouldn't that be boring? boring. No one just eats tacos every day, though tacos are good, right? But no one just sits and eats tacos for breakfast and lunch and dinner until you die. No one's going to do that. No, we want this and we want that. And sometimes you want sushi and sometimes you want steak and sometimes you want boiled crawfish. And all those things are good. It's just a different perspective on what is very good for your body. And so for us today, we have to understand that not everybody sees life through the same lens that we do. Can I get an amen? Their problem is when you think everyone has the same set of lens, and nothing could be further from the truth. Our lives, our family, our experience, your customs, your culture, each one of those things give us a different set of lens that we see through. And today's sermon is about being gracious in our differences, because we're all very different people and we all come from very different walks of life and we all see things differently depending on how you were raised, what has happened to you, your circumstances that have happened to you, and all of that is okay. Turn to your neighbor and say it's okay, but just say it really close to yourself. Okay, because you know you can't really, you know, breathe too much. And so if you would just notice that just because someone is different doesn't make that bad. And so today we want to look at that. Now, this is very evident in the Bible as well. Whenever we look at the Bible, if you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, before we dive into Romans, Matthew, Mark, they all write about whom? They all write about Jesus. They talk about his life, about his birth, about his death, but they all tell that story from a different perspective. So Mark, who is actually the first book that was written, Mark, they have these letters that are circulating around, and he's thinking Jesus is coming back, so he says, Jesus coming back, not going to write a book, but then he realized Jesus is coming back, but maybe not before I die, let me write a book. And so Mark gathered these letters and these stories, convincing people that Jesus is the Messiah because of his miracles. It's a different perspective. And so Matthew is writing to a bunch of Jews, and so he writes to these Jewish people, and he takes bits of the Old Testament, and he says, it's the same Jesus, I've just got to convince all my Jewish friends that Jesus is the Messiah. Now Luke, who is the third book that was written out of Mark and Matthew, then Luke is a social justice warrior. He cares not just about the poor in heart, he cares about the poor. He even says that, blessed are the poor, whereas Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke just says, man, just blessed are the poor, for they will see God. He has a justice heart. He has a social justice heart. And then John has a completely different perspective. His book looks different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke's. His book has different stories than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Why? His perspective, his lens was as the best friend of Jesus Christ. And he knew him, and he was, and that gave him some substance to the stories that he told. Each gospel is so amazing, but each gospel has a different perspective. Each gospel is written to a different group of people, but at the same time, all of the gospels glorify Jesus and salvation. They just talk about it in some different ways. And so today, we're going to look at Romans chapter 14. Now, you have to understand, Paul wrote the book of Romans. In fact, he writes many letters, 13 of them in the New Testament. His goal in the book of Romans is to unify. Everybody say unify. His goal is to unify us to Christ, because this was a very eclectic church at Rome because of the diversity of Rome. Rome was a diverse city. So then you see Paul is writing and saying, hey, let's unify together. First of all, let's unify to Christ. But in 13, 14, 15, and 16 chapters, he says, let's unify to each other. And he says, the only way that we can make this gospel message work is if, though we're different, we cannot be divided. Not then and not now. So Paul brings up two issues. So I'm just giving you a little preview of what happens. Paul brings up two issues in Romans chapter 14. There were two issues going around in the church. One was eating and one was holy days. Eating, some people thought you could eat pork. Some people thought you couldn't. Some people thought that Jesus covered it and some people didn't. There was also people that honored a certain day. day. There were the days of the week, and some people worshiped on Saturday, and some people worshiped on Sunday. And so these were two issues that were dividing the church. Now you say, well, Tara, what are some issues that are dividing the church? And I'm not talking about now, because hallelujah, we ain't going to talk about that. But some of the things before COVID-19, if you homeschool your kids, you're the best mom in the world. If not, you're negligent. And there would be this fight. If you homeschooled your kids, you were doing the right thing. And all my kids go to public school. And if all your kids are homeschooled, hallelujah. Some other people would always fight, and we always get this argument, only King James. You can only read the King James Bible. If you don't read the King James version of the Bible, literally you're probably just going straight. I mean, you're just a sinner. And I don't know if you've ever heard that, but people will fight and fight and fight over something that's really just an opinion. Some people think Sundays is for dressing up in Sunday best, and obviously we don't. But if you do, hallelujah, right? It's just an opinion. Some people, and we can go on and on about what people think about children's church or different opinions, and notice Paul is saying, hey, these things are opinions that we don't have to fight about. Notice Paul is not talking about the real things, salvation. Hey, salvation's through Jesus Christ. We're not going to fight about that because that is truth, and that's the way that truth is. Hey, we're not going to fight about the resurrection of Jesus Christ because that is truth. Hey, Paul's not talking about doctrinal issues or sin. Sin is sin. He's not going to say, he's not going to sugarcoat that. Sin is sin, and so he says that. He's not talking about social justice issues because we know that that is inherently wrong. Those are real things that the gospel talks about. But in chapter 14, he is talking about the opinions of man. Everybody say opinion. So opinion is different than truth. Opinion is something that I think or believe most of the time because of the lens that I wear and because of the way that I live life. And if we would talk about anything, our opinions should be different and can be different. But the truth is always what will set us free. The truth is the word of God. And so for that, we cannot argue. And for that, it has to be first place in our lives. So for Paul, he's talking to believers who all are seeking to please the Lord. And I think in the room today, if you dare to come to church, at this point, we're all believers seeking to love the Lord. Paul is concerned about the believers, and he wants them to get along in spite of the differences between us. And I would say the same, that we have to get along in spite of the differences that are between us. So Paul says there will always be differences among believers. We will never get this right until heaven. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 says at the end, it says, now we know a little bit, but then we'll know everything. Now we see dimly, but then we will see face to face. So Romans chapter 14. Amen. I am there. Romans chapter 14. So we want to look at this and sort of dive into the scriptures. And it says in 14 verse 1. Now Paul in 13 has talked about leadership and submitting to leadership. And in 14, he's still on this unity. Hey, let's be unified. Hey, let's not be weak. So in verse 1, he says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Now, if you're highlighting, because we didn't do bulletins this morning, but if you're highlighting, I would highlight or underline that, but not to quarrel over opinions, because opinion is not the truth, because there will be things that are always divisive. And so in verse 2, it says, one person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. So there is the disagreement again of some people eating meat and some people eating vegetable. Now, we're not talking about food that was sacrificed to idols, little gods. We're just talking about some people ate meat and some people ate vegetables. And obviously, this was a big riff in the church that Paul has to address it. And he says, hey, it's just an opinion. If you want to eat vegetables, hallelujah. If you want to eat a big steak, cake after church? Amen. And so, you know, so you're saying, hey, these are not things that we need to worry about because they're not truth. They're just an opinion. Look at verse 3. It says, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. So basically, Paul is saying, if you want to eat vegetables, good. If you want to eat meat, good. Don't pass judgment on the one eating vegetables. And don't pass judgment on the one eating meats. Both are okay. Both are just an opinion. And both are using, and sometimes the enemy will use these little small things to get into the way of the big thing, which is serving Christ. And so this becomes just a little bitty thing. And he says that, hey, don't judge them. Don't despise them. Instead, God has welcomed them. Everybody say welcome him. He's welcoming us. In verse 4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Is it before his own master that he stands or fall? And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So God's saying, eventually, we all stand before God. Not for salvation, but for our judgment of the things that we have done on this earth. And I don't stand before you. I don't stand before my husband. I actually and literally stand before the Lord. And that causes me to be fearful and a little bit scared and nervous because I need to be honorable in all the things that I do. Look at verse 5. It says, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all day alike. So now he's on to the second argument within the church. And he's saying, some of you like this day, some of you like that day. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Don't you like that? You can be fully convinced in your own mind. And it's okay. It's okay because we're going to be gracious in our differences. In number 6, it says, the one who observes the day observes it in the honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in the honor of the Lord. Since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. In verse 7, again, if you want to underline a scripture, here it is. For none of us, everybody say none of us. For none of us lives to himself. If you have a kids, you know that. For none of us live to himself. And none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to whom? The Lord. And if we die, we die to whom? The Lord. So whether you're living or dying, either way, we don't live for ourselves. We live for the Lord. And everything that we do is to honor the Lord. And so it says in verse 9, for this end, Christ died. So Christ died for us. And he goes back to the essential. After talking about these two opinions of food, and then he talks about an opinion of the days of the week, he goes back to what is essential. In verse 9, he's reminding the church, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord, both of the dead and the living. In verse 10, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. And Paul just hits it home. He says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to whom? To God. And so whenever we look at the truth of Scripture and we realize that we have opinions, and everybody will have an opinion about everything. Can I get an amen? We'll have an opinion. We went to this restaurant the other day and it was awful. And so me and Ted are trying to be really nice, and we're just like sitting there, and our kids are eating the food, and it's like, I don't even complain, but this was another level. And I'm just thinking, hey, my opinion, but you know, I'll go back on TripAdvisor and all those little Google apps, and I look, and people are giving it a 5-star, best ribs I ever had. And I'm like, this is not the best ribs that I've ever had. A best barbecue ever. Like, you need to go here, find it 10 miles away. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And me and Ted's opinion was that this was the worst barbecue that we've ever had in our whole entire life. But obviously, people thought this was the best barbecue that they had ever had. And an opinion is just that. There is a difference in disagreeing with the opinions and being disagreeable. I'm going to say that again. There is a difference between disagreeing and being disagreeable. Do you know someone who disagrees all the time? No matter what it is, hey, if you say the stool is black, really the stool is red. Hey, if you say the stool is to sit on, they're going to say, no, you should stand on it. If you see that you want to put a nice pretty plant on this, I don't think you should put a plant on it. You know somebody like that? Just keep on yapping and being disagreeable, and you sort of like get bothered to live in the same house with them because everything that you say becomes an argument. See, there's a difference between having opinion and then some things just don't matter. Amen? So like for me, I don't decorate our house because why? I don't care. Ted cares greatly. And so our house is decorated according to Ted's taste. And for me, it's his opinion, and he's getting ready to build these huge vases out of like some kind of wood that he found somewhere. And I'm like, I don't care. Just do whatever you want. Because I don't care. It's just an opinion, and it's not a truth of our marriage. And so it's just an opinion. And so we can say, we don't want to be disagreeable people. We don't want to keep on yapping and saying, but everything has to have an opinion, because everything does not have to have an opinion. We can learn to be gracious in our differences. And that's what Paul is saying. Hey, if they want to eat, let them eat. If they want to pick a special day, let them pick a special day. And let's be gracious. Everybody say gracious. Now, you might not know exactly what gracious is. And so I looked it up. And so gracious means a willingness to distinguish between people and their ideas. Whenever you see people, we're to love people. We're to look at them in the eye and love them with the love of Jesus Christ. Their ideas might be different than ours, but we can still love them for who they are. We can look at them and honor them. We can, being gracious is listening to them. Every one of us needs to be more gracious and patient and humble. Today, what we do is we need to see through the lens of not of our childhood, but we need to see through the lens of Jesus Christ. We've been reading through the Bible at our house during quarantine, and we read through the book of James together, like my family and my kids. And I'm so convicted as I'm reading through James, I realized I'd picked up my own lens and I wasn't really seeing through the lens of Jesus Christ. See, we have to pick up and say, my goal is not to see through my own lens, but to see the lens of Jesus. And whenever you do that, you're able to love people a lot better. You are able to help people. You are able to not look at the differences, but rather you're to celebrate them and say, hey, that difference is good. Hey, the way that you think about that, I never even thought about that. Hey, the way that you're doing that, you know, sometimes, you know, that's okay. When we first got married, Ted had a fit because I folded towels really weird. But I folded them, guess what? My mom taught me how to fold towels, and you do like this square thing. And Ted does this really weird thing, and he like does this loop-de-loop and whatever, and I stressed him out, and every time he goes to take a towel out of the cabinet, I'm sitting there, and he's like, why'd you do that again? And so you know what I did? Did it matter? No. Was it essential of our marriage? Absolutely not. So I learned how to do a loop-de-loop with the towels, and so there's this nice loop-de-loop towel, and it's a better way. It is really a better way. It looks so much better when you go in our cabinet, and like these loop-de-loop towels, and I'm like, yeah, and I pull one out, and they're so fresh and they smell so well, and his way was better. But if I would have just argued about that point and said, I can't believe it, that's my way or the highway, we would have like been divorced 10 years ago. And so for us, we're saying, hey, let's look at that and let's not be so opinionated, and let me see you, let me listen to you. And these are questions you should ask yourself. Number one, am I truly listening? Am I listening to your opinion? Am I listening to what you say? And then another question, am I treating others with dignity and respect? Is your way treating people with dignity and respect, that you're honoring them? Here's another question. Are you giving people your full attention? Are you giving them your full attention, noticing them, paying attention to them, calling them? I would encourage you to be gracious even in our differences. Be gracious to those and during this time who have lost their jobs and are worried about money, because there are some people that have lost their jobs and they don't know where the next check is going to come from or where the next amount of money. Just be gracious. Listen to them. Be gracious to those who are concerned about the economy. I know what it's like to try to start your small business back up, and you're concerned because your rent is due, and your electricity is due, and your garbage is due, and the insurance over a place that you haven't even been in for 2 months is due, and your van insurance is due. Those things can get to people. Be gracious to them. Listen to them. Be concerned. Be gracious to those who wear a mask and say, you know what? I get it. I understand it. But be gracious to those who choose not to because they have different fears or whatever their concern is. Be gracious to those who have been following a strict quarantine. My parents have been following a strict quarantine. Like, we haven't seen them, and we're just gracious. We understand. We understand why. We get it. And so be gracious and listen with dignity and respect. Be gracious to those who have not and have just been doing their own thing or going to work. Be gracious to those working on the front lines for us, for people. Be gracious to them. Listen to their stories. Hear what they have to say. Be gracious to those who look different. Be gracious to those who have different thought processes. Be gracious to those who see through a different lens than you do. Learn not to be disagreeable. Instead, say, okay, God, show me what your goal is. And am I leading people to Christ? Because the ultimate goal is to know Christ personally and then to make him known. And everything else outside of that is just an opinion. And we need to learn to be gracious. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? As you look at your own life and those things, it has been hard. It has been hard, even in my own family, to be gracious, because if I'm honest, I have four kids and they would attest to this. We have irritated each other because we have been closer than we ever been. There is no, hey, just go to a friend's house. Hey, just go to school. And what God has been teaching me throughout this quarantine, and I live with like four kids who are like four polar opposite kids, like, you know, and then we have us, and it's just been really hard and challenging at times to really be gracious, to understand where they're coming from and why they are like they are and what lens they have on and what they view life at. But if we look at Romans chapter 14, and we see Paul that says, hey, whenever it's just an opinion, if he would write in today's time, just chill out. Just if it's an opinion, just we don't have to fuss and fight about it. And maybe in your house there's been a lot of fussing and fighting over what is just an opinion. Let it go. Or maybe in your job, or maybe on social media, or maybe within entities that you're in, you've been fussing and fighting about things that really, really have just been a distraction. I'm not talking about sin or social justice issues. I'm not talking about the theological salvation and resurrection. I'm not talking about those truths. I'm talking about opinions. That today we would just say, you know what, God, help me to not be so opinionated. And not that you can't have an opinion. You don't need to express it all the time. And I'm just learning that for myself. I don't always have to express my thing in front of my family. I don't always have to do what I feel like doing because I'm the older or the adult. Sometimes God is just teaching us to be gracious. Can I just pray for you? And if you're struggling, would you just sort of lift your hand right where you are and say, you know, I need to be gracious. I need to treat that person with dignity or respect. I need to sit down. Maybe you just need to call up somebody and listen to them. That's hard when you already have your opinion for them, but just listen to their heart. Listen to what they're saying. God, you see our hands raised. God, you see those things in our lives, God, that we have become so opinionated about. And God, sometimes we don't even realize it's really just an opinion. So God, today, help us to be gracious. God, help us to think of others as better than ourselves, like Paul writes in Philippians 2. God, that really the goal in life is to know you and to make you known to others. So God, help us to put our minds back on that and focus our attention on that. And God, whenever we see an opinion or hear an opinion, God, that we will just be mindful that we're all different. And that's what makes the body of Christ so beautiful, is that we are so different. And God, remind us that in Revelation it says, then you saw people from every tribe and every nation worshiping the King. And God, whenever we get to heaven, we will be full of culture and full of diversity and full of differences. And God, it's an honorable thing to you that you love it. And God, that is your heart. God, help us to move forward in unity during these uncertain times. God, help us to be gracious and loving. In Jesus' name we pray. We give you all the honor in your name. Amen and amen. We love you guys. We pray that you'll look over that scripture in Jesus' name. Again, we ask you to stay 6 feet apart. And then also, if you don't mind, I know this could be challenging because some of y'all like to hang out forever, but the next 5 to 10 minutes, we're trying to get ready for that next service. So if you will just sort of make your way out and then we'll get ready for the next guys. We can't wait to see you on Wednesday if you choose to come on Zoom. If you need our Zooms, just let us know. We'll have those posted on Facebook. We can't wait to see you soon in Jesus' name.